From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Although he has finished his exposition of Hebrews 11, the spirit of the passage actually carries over into chapter 12. In verses 1 and 2, we see that believers are called to run a race for God. This is the nature of our calling, and the thought of the great cloud of heavenly witnesses ought to inspire us to run our best, so that we may obtain what Paul spoke of as the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Unlike earthly races, the Christian's strength comes not from within himself, but from Christ. We are to run looking unto Jesus. The apostle lists five things about Christ that believers are to look at. The first of these is who He is, the incarnate Son of God, Jehovah, the Savior of sinners. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled, Jesus, the Supreme Object of Faith. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from Numbers chapter 14 and verse 11. How long will it be ere they believe me? Strive with all diligence to keep out that monster unbelief. It so dishonors Christ that he will withdraw his visible presence if we insult him by indulging it. It is true it is a weed, the seeds of which we can never entirely extract from the soil. But we must aim at its root with zeal and perseverance. Among hateful things, it is the most to be abhorred. Its injurious nature is so venomous that he that exercises it and he upon whom it is exercised are both hurt thereby. In thy case, O believer, it is most wicked, for the mercies of thy Lord in the past increase thy guilt in doubting him now. When you distrust the Lord Jesus, he may well cry out, Behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. This is crowning his head with thorns of the sharpest kind. It is very cruel for a well-beloved wife to mistrust a kind and faithful husband. The sin is needless, foolish, and unwarranted. Jesus has never given the slightest ground for suspicion, and it is hard to be doubted by those to whom our conduct is uniformly affectionate and true. Jesus is the Son of the Highest, and has unbounded wealth. It is shameful to doubt omnipotence and distrust all sufficiency. The cattle on a thousand hills will suffice for our most hungry feeding, and the granaries of heaven are not likely to be emptied by our eating. If Christ were only a cistern, we might soon exhaust his fullness. But who can drain a fountain? Myriads of spirits have drawn their supplies from him, and not one of them has murmured at the scantiness of his resources. Away, then, with this lying traitor of unbelief! For his only errand is to cut the bonds of communion and make us mourn an absent Savior. Bunyan tells us that unbelief has as many lives as a cat. If so, let us kill one life now and continue the work till the whole nine are gone. Down with thee, thou traitor! My heart abhors thee.
Pray.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
I've listened to great athletes because I find that I can learn a lot as I listen to them, things to avoid and things to do. The one thing I have found in every great athlete is that when he's running the race, there comes the breaking point. There comes the point when pain threatens to wipe them out. And you hear an athlete talk about running through the pain. I don't know how you do that. I saw one finish a race with a fractured foot. Running, not hobbling, running. I saw one waif of a girl who, after about 20 miles of a marathon race, developed a severe stitch, as it's called, and absolutely crippling, but yet gritting the teeth and running through the pain. And as they do that, I've heard them again and again say one thing, that when that happens, when you reach the place where your body is saying, quit, you have got to reach deep down inside. You've got to look into what you really are. And as you look to the depths of what you are and dredge from the very bottom of your existence, you get the guts to go on. That's true in athletics, but it's not true in the Christian race. Here's the difference. When you are to run, when the pain gets so much that the body and the soul cry out, quit. When in this Christian race, you find all the furies of hell against you. You can't look into yourself because your greatest enemy in doing the will of God is self. Paul says you are to look up. You are to run looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Only the sight of Christ can beget faith. Only the sight of Christ can sustain faith and enable us to finish the course. So, what we have in verse 2 is Jesus, the supreme object of faith, looking unto Jesus. To look, according to John Brown, means to make the truth respecting him as the author and finisher of our faith the subject of our believing contemplation. That's what it means to look, to make him the subject of our believing contemplation. To look is not to glance. To look is to look with the constant gaze of the worshipper. To look unto Christ is to look with the obedient gaze of the servant. To look unto Christ is to look with the expectant gaze of the child. This is how we're to run the race, looking unto Jesus. Now, Paul lists in these words of verse 2 five things about Christ at which we're to look. I shouldn't really have said five things, because many of you will think, well, if he preaches a half hour in each one, we're going to be here for a long time. Well, that would be true if he preached a half hour in each one. But he'll not. Maybe an hour in each one, but not a half hour. Let's see where this verse leads us. We are to look first at who he is, looking unto Jesus. Remember that the names of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament are not used by chance. They all have their significance, and they're used for particular purposes in particular places. The name Jesus is the Lord's personal name. It means Jehovah our salvation, or Jehovah our Savior. But it was his personal name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. As Jesus, he was born of the Virgin Mary. As Jesus, he lived in Nazareth, toiled, labored. As Jesus, he suffered. He was nailed to a cross, died, rose again. And thank God, according to Hebrews 2, as Jesus he ascended into heaven, for we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. As Jesus, therefore, he is our Savior. Now Paul says, focus that in your mind. When you're running this race, when you're running into trial, when the wind of adversity is in your face, when the pain of affliction is raking through your body, when the devil is hissing in your ear, when temptations beset, when weakness would tempt to overcome, run this race with this in mind. Jehovah is my Savior. My, there's nothing that's going to energize you more than to stop your mind getting carried away on some tangent. That's what the devil wants you to do. You can never run unless your attention's focused. You can never run unless you're thinking right. Remember when we were dealing with 1 Peter, how again and again we saw the secret of right action is right thinking, and the secret of right thinking is thinking Christ? That was taught again and again. Well, it's the same thing here. Unless you stop the devil getting your mind on foolish things, you're not going to run the race. But if you, in the midst of all these troubles and trials and tribulations, in the midst of the challenges that God sets before you, if you will remember, Jehovah is my Savior. And in order to be my Savior, he took human flesh. In order to be my Savior, he shed his blood. He dealt fully with my sin. He is therefore my deliverer, my upholder, my sustainer. Remember, it is said of him that in him all things consist, in him all things cohere. That's one of the great cosmic statements of Scripture. You look at this vast universe, you look at the greatest to the very smallest created object, and you'll find in every one there is constant motion. One of the great discoveries of modern physics is the idea of energy and motion. And in that motion there is a natural tendency to dissipation, but it is all held together. From the planets and the stars, right down to the smallest atom of being on earth, they are all held together in their proper place, fulfilling their proper function, and they are held together by Jesus Christ. That's the truth of Colossians 1. Now then, if this person is my Savior, if he is holding all things together, if he has defeated sin and Satan and purchased eternal salvation for me, what reason is there why I cannot trust him in every circumstance of life? Therefore, my friend, as you run the race, fix your gaze on who he is, on his person. Fix your gaze on his passion. Jehovah took flesh and went to the cross to die for us. Fix your gaze upon the purpose of this person. He did it to save us, not to let us perish. Fix your gaze upon his power, looking unto Jesus. Run the race looking unto who he is. And then look at what he is. He is the author and finisher of our faith. The word author means leader or captain or prince. In Acts 3:15, the word prince is used to translate this word. The same again in Acts 5:31. He's a prince and the Savior. In Hebrews 2:10, he's called the captain of our salvation, who was made perfect through suffering. And it's the same word. The word finisher has the idea of the perfecter. And as I show you, the rewarder of our faith. Now, actually, here we get into a little difficulty. If you look at your authorized version carefully, you'll see that the word our is italicized. So it's not in the original. It is simply the faith in the original. And that has led to various interpretations. Three of them, really. And you can only come to the conclusion as to which is most accurate by the scope of the passage. But they all have something to teach us. The faith, I think, can very naturally here be taken as the action of believing. He is the author. He is the originator. He is the increaser. He is the preserver of our faith until he brings us to heaven. He's the author and the finisher of our action of believing. I want you to get this. Faith is the gift of God. It is purchased by the merit of Christ. It is brought to us by the Spirit of Christ. Faith is not some natural hoping for the best. It is not even some natural faculty. You hear some crazy things about faith. I was going to call it a hymn, but really it is a most unspiritual song that I heard years ago, which was exhorting people just to release their faith, as if there were a bunch of ungodly people there, and God had a sack of faith within them, and all they'd got to do was slit it and let it out. That's not the truth. Faith originates from the Lord. He is the author and the finisher of our believing. He brought us to faith. Thank God he'll bring us to heaven through faith. But then the faith in Scripture often means what is believed, the body of revealed truth. When you're told in Jude, for instance, earnestly to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, it is the body of biblical truth. And when Christ is said to be the author and finisher of the faith, we read really that he's the prince and he's the perfecter of Christianity, that its triumph is certain. But there's another idea in the faith. This isn't quite so obvious, but it has a lot in the scope of the passage to support it. And that is that it may refer to the faithful ones. For instance, when Paul speaks of the circumcision, what does he mean? He means the people who have been circumcised. That's what he means. When you look at this passage here, the idea of the faith can very easily be seen as the people who have exercised faith. And in this sense, Christ is the author. He is the leader of his people. And surely that's the great truth here.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.